had two more saved in our church. And he said, man, praise God. He said, I'm jacked up. I think I shared this with you. I talked to Dwayne during the week the other night there about coming next year. We're going to have Dwayne all week for the revival. I would say that Les and Lois and all will probably come about on Thursday with Amanda and the kids and everybody. Dwayne will be here. But he said, I'm already jacked up about it, man. He said, I'm excited, man. I mean, I'm telling you about that. So, you know, you never know how God's going to move, and one thing sparks another thing. You know, it's encouraging. Like I said, we've gone. Yeah, I remember I was telling Brian out there tonight, I remember one time years ago, we hadn't built this yet, and we were still on the other side. And it was coming up on Easter, right around in Easter. And it was 6 out of 7 Sundays in a row somebody came down and got saved. But, buddy, we've gone a long time until Caitlin come and got saved the other day before somebody got saved in church, man. I mean, it's just been a long time. You go through droughts, man. You think, man, what am I doing? It's just discouraging. But, listen, there's still plenty of discouraging things. But, God, you know, there's plenty of positive things as well. Danny Sanderson was here this morning. He told me, he said the other day, I saw him at the restaurant. And he said, man, I wanted to talk to you. He said, I want to talk to you. I was going to tell you, I want to come. I'm going to come. I said, all right. I said, well, try to come Sunday. And he said, well, he said, I'll see. I said, look, man, you're retired. Whatever else you got to do, you got time to do it. If you don't do it, man, and before I left the restaurant, he said, I'll see you tomorrow. And he come rolling in right there. And Brittany had promised Danielle to come last week, but she got here today. So people are coming, man. We had another couple visitors, new ladies here. And Irene, you know, Irene, the one lady that comes, older lady, she told me today, she told somebody else too. She said that when she come into church this morning, she said it just felt different. Things felt different, that God's moving. So we don't want to mess that up. And I just can't, you know, I just don't understand. Well, I'll talk about it in the message. But, man, people ought to be excited about what's going on, man. I mean, this would have been the last place I'd have stayed away from tonight to see what in the world's going to happen today, right? Acts chapter 20, did I tell you that already? Acts chapter 20, get yourself there. This was the message that I wanted. I had originally got this together to preach on Sunday morning before Harold came, last Sunday morning, and then I got sick, I was going to work on the message. I wanted to preach what I preached this morning, last week, and then God said, no, preach this message. And so then by the time Brian asked for me my notes yesterday, I said, I don't really know which one I'm preaching, man. We might have to switch them around. And I'm just going to pray about it. And I got up. I thought I had it settled. I had it settled like I had it this morning. But I went in there and left my mind open and looked through my notes again this morning. And I said, yeah, I'm going to keep it like that. Just see, that's the way God will use it, you know. But in Acts chapter 6, or 20, verse 6, the Bible says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. And it's talking about the Apostle Paul. Where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for Josh coming forward today. Lord, being saved again today, and James this morning. Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you work in their lives. Lord, make yourself real to them. Lord, fill them with your spirit. Lord, give them power over sin, power over the world. Lord, fill us all with your spirit. Lord, meet with us tonight. Make your presence known. Lord, we're gathered in your name. And you promised us, Lord, that where we were gathered, where 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, that there you'd be in the midst. And we want it to be real tonight. Lord, don't let us mess it up. Lord, you just work and use me, Lord, just this word. Let the word go forth. Let me get out of the way. And Lord, let you speak. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, in the midst of a discouraging world. And Lord, in a largely indifferent church, Lord, keep us encouraged, Lord. Keep us afire, Lord. And so we'll put it into your hands tonight. maybe others here tonight that sure are still not sure about their salvation, Lord, maybe playing the game, Lord, maybe made a profession, but maybe it's not a reality in their life. And Lord, convict them tonight, Lord. We'll see another soul saved tonight, and we'll trust you for it in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the title of the message tonight is Living on the Edge, and I subtitled it, How Not to Fall Out of a Window and Die. You know, it amazes me, you know, when I go around, when I in Botetourt County, particularly when you visit and you go to people's houses and they're not in church and you know it, or you run into them, and how many people say that they used to go to church? It's honest to God's truth, man. I'd love to have all the people that used to go to Mount Joy Church of the Brethren, man. I mean, you go around this county and everybody you talk to, I don't know how they fit them in there. It ain't no bigger than my spare bedroom. But everybody in the county just about used to go. We used to go to Mount Joy Church of the Brethren. I think you got to be kidding, man. And they don't go there. And then Valley View's probably just as bad. If we had all the people that ever went to Valley View, we'd have to have a building twice as big in time. But, you know, people go to church. People, they said they used to go to church. And, you know, and I used to ask them, and I'd be out, I'd say, well, what happened? And, you know, a lot of the answer is, I don't know. I just quit going. And they didn't have, like, it wasn't like, well, the preacher did this or said that or somebody did that. Now, you know, there's probably a few of those stories, but not very many of those. You know, what happened there? You know, I noticed this little word here. I'd written it down in the back of my notebook. Activities. I was looking on the internet and I was trying to get some rooms, and we were going down to get Clarissa's stuff, and I said, well, I was looking for a place to stay, and then me and Sherry had gone down to Williamsburg a couple times, and all the places down there that you're going to, it says like activities. Or when people check on those, they say this, what kind of activities do you have? And I started thinking about activities. We got to have activities, you know, like, I don't know, when you get my age, sometimes we don't want no activities. What we want is just want to sit there and be real quiet, you know, and just relax. I mean, I ain't looking for no activities, you know, but people want activities. And that's okay. But you like that, don't you, Dorsey? Huh? It's a tool of the devil to get us so busy, man, that we don't have time to sit around and think about God and eternity and heaven and hell and those things right there in salvation number. We got to have our mind. And if there's no activities, people don't want to go to it because they want to have something just jogging up. You know, you got to be, and you see people, man, they got their kids and they're running, and they got to run and get on this thing, and then they got to run and they got to get on that thing, and everybody's running around because they want to have activities. And we stay so busy in everything except the things of God. Everything except the things of God. You know, like I said, when you ask people about, you know, well, how come you don't go to church? Or how come you can't come to this or that? And even in the church, if you try to get them past another, you know, moving ahead a little bit. And they got a million excuses why. And why people don't go to church. You know, you've heard them all, hypocrites and this and that. I read this funny little thing and I wrote it all down. And it was about a pastor, which kind of reminded me of me, is a pastor that's an avid sports fan. And he finally said, man, I'm just quitting sports. I'm quitting. I probably have run some people off about preaching about sports being a god. But the fact of the matter is, it has gotten to that level with it is a god. It is. But this guy says, I'm just quitting sports. And he says, I'm going to list all the reasons why I'm quitting sports. And you're going to see the parallel between this and why people quit church. Number one reason he said that he had listed, this is why he's quitting sports. He says, every time I go to the game, all they ever do is ask me for money. The people at the game didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard. I went to the games, but the coach never came to call on me. You getting it? This is funny, supposedly. The referee made a decision that I didn't agree with. I thought most of the others there at the game were hypocrites. A lot of people came to see what others were wearing and not watch the game. Some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. The band played some songs that I never heard before. The games are scheduled when I want to do other things. I was taken to too many games when I was growing up. I didn't want to take my kids to the games because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. Isn't that, there's a lot of truth in those excuses right there. And what I tell people sometimes, you know, like people will say, well, you know, I just didn't like the decision that you made. Well, do you like all the decisions they make at the place of employment, at your place of employment? No. Do you quit your job? No. You know, that's the same thing right there. And so, you know, I wanted to preach this kind of on the verge of our revival meeting and point some things out, but it'll work after revival too. And I want to point out some of the biggest problems that I see in Christianity or in church today. And it's the disconnected, stay with me here, the disconnected, the disinterested, and the dead church members, and the danger that it poses to the cause of Christ and to your own self if you're one of them or their own self. We're going to talk about those points tonight. And the very first point is the disconnected. The disconnected. You know, we look in the text that we use today and we see this fellow Eutychus. I've preached on this text like one other time in my whole life. I know one time I preached on it, but I thought, and that it came to me, you know, a few weeks ago. I said, man, I like this text right here. It was the first day of the week. It said it was the Lord's day. This is the best verse in all the New Testament to indicate that the Christians, the believers, met on the first day of the week. Now, it was the evening service. Now, I want you to know something about this evening service. Sunday in those days, the Lord's day, wasn't a day off of work like it is for us. I mean, they didn't have weekends. You know, everybody in those days, the economy was you worked every day. Hey, kind of like the economy today, isn't it? Everybody kind of works every day. And so what it was, most likely everybody worked all day on Sunday, but the Christians saw fit. They met on the first day of the week, and it was the evening service. This is another thing, folks. Listen, there's no such thing. When you look in the New Testament church, there was no such thing as a Christian who didn't belong to and attend every church service. In the book of Acts, they went to church every day. Not because the pastor said, if you don't, we're going to kick you off the board or throw you out of the choir or you can't. Because they wanted to, man. Why? Because the same thing that's going on then was going on. It's going on now here. It's going on there. People's getting saved, man. God was showing up and people was excited about it, man. I mean, they said they didn't want to miss out on what was God. They said they had joy, man. Everybody fellowship. So here it was a Sunday night, just like now. It's a Sunday night service. Paul preached till midnight. Man, I only got like 5 hours to go, man. Preached till midnight. But it was the Lord's day. And, you know, I believe it was a big crowd. It was a big crowd because people was in the upper chambers there. And we see Eutychus ended up there. And so it was a big crowd. They were coming to hear Paul preach. But just listen. I mean, I'd rather preach to 110 any day. I mean, you know, the 5 men we used to have at the prayer group was okay, but I like the 17, 18 that's coming now. 17, 18 is okay, but I'd like to have 100, you know, like more. But just because you got a big crowd don't mean everybody in the big crowd is into it, right? It doesn't mean that. And so, you know, you can be here physically and be a million miles away spiritually, asleep, so to speak, here in body, but that's about it. And so from what happened to Eutychus and he fell asleep and from where he sat, we can surmise and even speculate, which I will, about some things in his life. The number one thing about Eutychus, I'll tell you what he was as far as a Christian or a church member, if we want to look at him that way. More than likely, and I speculate this, and I'm speculating some on this, but he was a spectator as the average church member in churches today is. And what I mean by being a spectator, you know, and when you're just a spectator, you're somewhat disconnected. You're somewhat disconnected from what's going on. I would say because of the fact that he probably got there late. He got there at the last minute. He wasn't interested in church fellowship with the other believers. He got there late. There wasn't any seats down low. He had to go up high, and he got set over there in a window for probably multiple reasons. But he wasn't participating in the service. In other words, you know, because of where he ended up, I would say that he wasn't taking up the offering. He probably wasn't singing in the choir. He probably wasn't an usher. He just didn't have anything to do. He just showed up to see what was going on. And that's the average church member today. And there's a danger in doing that. It's falling asleep and falling out the window, but it's in another way. There's a danger in doing that. And like I say, didn't get involved. It's the opposite of other activities in life. I don't know, y'all ever buy tickets to a sporting event or to a concert or something? Where do you try to sit when you buy them tickets? Huh? Man, you go into the football game, where do you want to? Boy, if you can get on the 50-yard line, I mean, that's dead center, man, and down there kind of close, maybe just up a little bit where you can see a little. You go to a concert, I used to go to concerts when we wanted to get tickets just close as we could get, man, get down there in the spitting section, the amen section. Every other thing we get to do in life, we want to be there first. Man, if you're going to go down to King's Dominion, man, what are we doing when we went to King's Dominion those times? We need to get there before it opens so we can get right there at the gate when they open up. Boom, run to the roller coaster so we can get in first in line, right? Huh? Do we get to church like that? No, man. We don't get to church like that. Matter of fact, you come in the church door, and man, you walk in the door back there, and a lot of people, man, they're glued to the wall, man. I'm just going to get in and, sit down, man. I'm not going to get, I don't want to, get in there down here in the front row for crying out loud. Thank God that young girl that got saved, man, she gets right here in front of the choir, Caitlin, man, right there in the front row. I like that. We just want to just get in. But, like I said, so the ball game, we get into the ball game, man, we want to get there and get up front. And if it's a blessing, man, if we're going to get a blessing, everybody wants to be front, first in line. But if it's commitment and dedication and consecration, man, we want to get by the back door, sit in the window, get on the window seat. Don't get too connected to that. Something wrong here. There's something wrong here, see? And it's a dangerous place. It's a very dangerous place to be. I'm not saying that he wasn't saved. I'm not saying that people that do that aren't saved. But they're just so much on the edge, on the fringe. And every church, I could do this in any church, preach this in any church. You get disconnected. You're not connected with nothing. Don't get involved in nothing else. That's not what God intended. God put us all together to help one another. Huh, man, we all got different needs. And it's not just what you can get, it's what you can give. And we start thinking that way, brother, we're going to be on the ground. We start coming in wondering what we can do for somebody. Can I pray with you? Can I help you out somehow? What can I do for you? When we start coming to church like that, we're going to be on the ground that God intended us to be on. God will show up, and that means we come in just see what we're going to get out of it. Get entertained, I'm telling you. Now, that window seat, it's a dangerous place, man. It's a safe place, in a sense, what we think. And I'm using this in a metaphorical sense, a safe place. People are afraid to get too close to where God is moving. Can you believe that after the meeting we had on Friday night and after what was going on today, that there's people right now laying out that could be here? They said, man, they don't want to get in there and see that God, they're afraid God's going to get a hold of them. There's a fear there. And so you want to stay back and just get safe. There's a lot of people that like really, really big churches for that reason. They get in a really, really big church, they can come and go as they please, and the preacher can't figure it out. It takes them a long time to know they're not there. If they're not involved in anything in a real big church, they probably don't know. They don't know that you're not there. They just come and go, and they like that feeling. They don't feel committed. They don't feel connected. They can just, there's a freedom that's involved in that, and they like it. But we're afraid to get close to God because we're afraid God will shake up our life if we get too close to Him. It's a place of control for them. Sit back, kind of observe, see what's going on, but I don't want to get in. When you was a kid, listen, you went out for the team. Did you want to sit on the bench? No, you want to play in the game, right? Huh? Man, I mean, when I went out to play football, listen, I wanted to get in the game. Matter of fact, my coach, I played on offense and defense. Sometimes I wish he just wouldn't put me in. No, I don't want to go in the game. But who wants to try out for the team and say, well, I don't really want to get in the game. I just want to sit on the bench. But when we get in church, man, it's different. We don't want to get involved in that, so we want to stay safe and stay back and stay in control and observe some things. Somebody said the church suffers from divers diseases. diving for the beach and diving for the mountains, and at 12 o'clock sharp, we're diving for the door, man. That's all we want. Hey, even today, as exciting as it was, there was a couple people I thought they was going to run me over on the way out of here. I mean, they blew out, didn't shake my hand, nothing, man. They were gone. Huh? Man, I'm telling you, man. So we see there, we got the disconnected people. Man, it's dangerous when you get disconnected because it's so easy to fall out. It's so easy to fall out. You're teeter-tottering there on the windowsill. And then you got a disinterested group. Disinterested group. You know, I was telling Brittany today when she was here after church, I said, no, nobody falls into church. They only fall out. He didn't fall back inside the church, and I'll tell you a reason why in a minute. He fell out. You don't accidentally, it's seldom somebody, you know, I was just driving down the road. I don't know what I just accidentally turned in here and just came, right? You know, like today, you guys are here. Great. I'm glad. It blesses my heart. But, you know, there was a concerted effort to get here, right? You didn't just accidentally, what are you going to do tonight? I don't know. Let's draw straws out of a hat. What, you know, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's get in the car and see where it goes. I see they got a car that'll park itself now. I'm going to invent one that'll automatically drive you to church. Huh? You just get in and push a button, zoom, comes right down here, I have it programmed for you, right? Huh? You don't accidentally just come here. You made an effort. You said, I'm going to church. You got up, you got dressed, you got your stuff, you know, you came on down here, you checked the clock, most of you. And, you know, you got here. I mean, that's what happens. But falling out. You fall out. And most people don't make a decision to do that. You don't think old Utica said, well, I'm going to sit in the window seat and just fall out in the middle of the service. I got to get out of this meeting one way or the other. You don't think he decided to fall out, did you? No, it was an accident. He didn't mean to, but he did. All them people. All them people around, man, that you preach to, talk to, and ask about, what happened? I don't know. They don't know. I imagine Utica woke up down there dead. Utica, what happened? I don't know. He didn't know. We'll talk about him in a few minutes in that connection right there. But what happened was the reason he fell out was he was already more out than in. And you ever notice that when people fall out of a church a lot of times? You know how it usually goes. They get disconnected. They get disinterested. They quit doing things. And the next thing you know, they're missing more than they're coming. And so by the time they fall out, when you look back over their life, they were probably really mostly out for about the last 3-4 years before they finally fell out. Huh? That's what happened to Utica. See, he's sitting up there in the window, and what it is he starts looking out. And he's looking in. And he's looking out at what's going on outside. And he's looking in. Now here you are, church people. A lot of people get in this mode right here. But we got interests outside the church. We do. You got jobs, you got vacations, you got family, you know. But buddy, when you start looking out more out there than you are looking in here, you're in danger of falling out there. That's where you're going to fall. You're not going to be looking out there and fall. When I was in the Navy, we were in the drill team in Orlando during time in boot camp, and we did where we flipped all the rifles and everything. And, you know, we marched, and it looks real cool. You got bayonets. Everything's chrome white, man. We look sharp, man. We flipped them guns and threw them around and bayonet, and it was all oohing and ahhing. It looked real neat. And we performed at every graduation on every Friday. And it's in Orlando, needless to say, it's hot. And they kept telling us, they said, look, man, when you guys are up there at parade, rest when the ceremony's going on, keep your knees bent. They always tell you that in the military. Anybody been in the military, you know that. Keep your feet. In Navy, you got them bell bottoms on, man, so you can do it really good because they're loose. You can stand there. But every year they had a crew. They had a crew with stretchers. And they were the stretcher crew. And every now and then in the hall in the ceremony, you stand out there and you look and you see somebody, two guys running down there with a stretcher. And they get in, the waves went to where I went to boot camp too, so it was women and men. And they'd load one of them on there and roll them off, you know, 7 or 8 every graduation, you know, because there was, I don't know how many companies, there was 7 or 8 companies of sailors and, 60, 70 people in each company. And so there was a bunch of them, man. And they'd get them on a stretcher and it'll take them back because what happened, they sit there locked up and you start getting overheated. But, you know, when you fall, they say the way you can tell a fake
fainter from a real one. These fake ones, they always fall backwards. They said, never happened. Every time. Boo! There's a chair in front of you. Boom! Knocks you right across there. Huh? Yeah. You fall forward. You know why? Because that's where you're looking. That's where you're looking. And if you keep looking out the window, if you keep looking at the world and all the things, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I told y'all, I tore up the whole side of my truck with my camper. I just cleaned my truck. And I told Sherry, I said, I love my truck. Crush. God said, how you like it now? I didn't like it nowhere near. Now I just say, I'm real fine. I told Sherry back there, I said, look at my real nice, fond up truck going out the door, huh? Don't say it. But that's what happens. Wherever you're looking. And Eutychus was looking out. More interested in what's going on out the window than what was going on in the church, and he fell out. And that's what happens to people. Man, you watch it. It's little by little. It's a gradual thing. It's little by little. More interested in what's going on outside than inside. I used to talk about this some, and I just know I speculate on this a little bit too, but when Israel was moving around in the wilderness and they had the tabernacle, and when they set their tabernacle in the center of the congregation, all the tribes had their places to set up. And I'm pretty sure there was probably some sort of pecking order, but I think after a certain place, there was probably you could get your tent wherever you wanted to get it. And I'll guarantee you, there was some people that got their tent just as close to that tabernacle set up as they could, and there was other people in their mind, they got their tent set up as far away from that tabernacle as they could. Just being in close enough to be called a child of God. But they didn't want to get too close to what was going on with God. There's people in churches like that now. Man, they don't want to get that close to anything spiritual that's going on, you know, at the church. And you know, they're trying to see, and Christians today are trying to see just how far away or how much like the world they can be and still be a Christian, or how far away from God they can live and still be called a Christian, how worldly they can live. Samson, you look at Samson's life, man. Samson lived in a town that was right on the border of Canaan, right next to the Philistines. That's where he lived, of all the places. Well, what happened? He got influenced by the Philistines, right? You know, Delilah and them, they were from over there. And you know what happened to Samson? You know what happened to Eutychus? They both fell asleep. Eutychus fell asleep and he fell out and went dead. Samson fell asleep and got his hair cut off and lost his power with God. It is the same result, spiritual death, physical death. It didn't make any difference. It cost him. It both cost him. The five foolish virgins, the Bible says that they slumbered and they slept. You know, when you think about it, how many people used to serve God but don't now? You know, how many people used to serve God and don't? And I've seen it. Listen, I don't care. As long as I've been here. And this has happened every single time. And there's some people that's in danger right now. They used to be involved in the church. And it's happened all the 20 years I've been pastoring. Somebody just, it's not only the choir, but it sticks out in my mind. They sing in the choir. And then one day they come and they say, well, preacher, you know, my life's just so complicated, so busy. I think I'm going to quit the choir. And they used to come to Sunday school. And they used to come on Wednesday night. And they used to come on Sunday night. And the next thing you know, they're not down. And when they get right on down to just coming on Sunday morning, 99% of them eventually leave the church. Just fall out. It's not because they're mad at anybody. It's not because that they got a problem with me or anybody else in the church. It's just now they're just not interested in it. They're just not interested. That's what happens. A lot of people get just like Samson and those that are not, you know, prepared, the foolish virgins. And really, this is it. This is what you need to see. You're not abandoning the church. You're abandoning the Lord. Amen. You're abandoning the Lord right there. It's not the church. And the Bible says that Paul preached a long time. Man, Paul didn't give a hoot what time it was. Man, he didn't have somebody's watch going, 12 o'clock. He didn't care. Man, he preached on till midnight. Then it said they got the boy alive. He preached on after that till daylight. Man, somebody was excited about that. I ride around on Wednesday night sometime coming to church, especially in the summertime. You coming to church on Wednesday night, man, I ride by. There's church members walking down the sidewalk in Buckhannon, people driving out past me, drive their car. I can look out and say, well, it don't look like they're going to church. And they don't. They're not interested. out there running, worrying about, oh man, I'm going to stay in shape. What about your spiritual shape? Spiritual shape's going south to non-existent, about dead, on life support. You worried about running around that old body that's going to get old and die anyway. And I'm all for getting, you know, keeping yourself healthy, keeping in shape. I walk some in the morning, try to get in shape, will be. But what about your spiritual life, man? We get so concerned about this physical thing and not the spiritual thing. Man, think about this. You know, what keeps you awake in life? What really keeps you awake? What is it that excites you? You know, listen, man, I'm going to tell you what. If you can't get excited about what God's doing, you're spiritually dead. You ain't got any life. Now, if you're not interested in it. And then we see this. We see in the third thing that, see in verse 9, it says, there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. It says, being fallen into a deep sleep. The tense of the verb right there means that he was gradually overcome. How many of you, listen, I remember being in church, man, and I was saved, and my pastor was a fireball preacher, man. I mean, sometimes you take that stuff for granted, man. I mean, man, he'd hop up and down, get the short sleeve going, give you the foot kick, the whole nine yards, man. He'd get on with it. Good preacher. And, man, I remember being in there on Sunday. I was working, you know, worked hard. I was a boulder maker. It's a hard living. And, man, I remember sitting there, that 1,000-yard stare on. And, I mean, I didn't want to fall asleep, honestly. I was trying to. And, I mean, sometimes I think my eyes were open, but I think I was just asleep, glazed over. I remember one night Pastor Woodard, when the service was over, he come out, he said, man, I cut her short because I see you wasn't going to make it. I said, I'm sorry, man. I said, I just, it was one of them afternoons, man. I was just wore out, you know, got sitting in there. And but it says there that when he was sitting in the window, he didn't want to fall out. It was gradual. You ever do that? I remember when I was young, man. Young and wild and crazy. Ripped and run all night, man. Kept a candle burning at both ends. And I worked for Caterpillar, the company that owns Carter, the brother. Virginia Tractor down north. And I was in, we were up in Haymarket then. And we was putting a transmission in a big one of them wheel loaders. And we had a transmission in there. And the guy was underneath it, and I was up above it. And I got myself wedged in between the tire and the engine. Stuffed in there real good, standing up straight. So I couldn't, I was stuck kind of. And you have to put like a dial indicator on there to get everything lined up. And they put these, they call them hockey pucks, these rubber things that connects the transmission to the engine, the flywheel. And they roll it around there, and he could see when it rolled around the bottom, he could see how close it was. And then I had to read the top numbers. And I was in there. I hear him, Mike Starr was the guy's name. Dan. Huh. I didn't even notice myself going out. See, and that was old Eutychus. He's sitting up there in the window, and he's looking out. And the preacher's over there, and he's thinking about something else. Thinking about something else. And then he fell asleep. You ever dream you're falling? Sherry asked me last night. I jumped. I wasn't, but I just turned over real fast. She said, "What'd you do? Did you think you were falling?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm just rolling over." My head was hurt. But have you ever done that? He jumped. And I thought about old Eutychus, man. I wonder if on the way down, he woke up like on the way down. I don't know. It was going to take a very short time to get from where he was to the ground. That last second, wake up. Confused, not knowing what happened. Boom. Dead. That's it. That's what happens, man. You know, your spiritual life, man, listen, it's a real living thing. But, you know, Pastor Frank used to say about this church years ago, and it was true. He said, this church is on life support. And then one day it just quits beating. It just quits beating. Your spiritual life can do that. And so, you know, like I say, it was so sudden or so gradual. You know, people get disengaged, they get disinterested, and then that spiritual death comes. And like I said, all over the county, people say they're saved out of church, but and they've been out for years and they never know why. You know, you need to examine our lives and the lives of those who claim to be saved. And, you know, when you start looking at lives of people that are out of church, I start asking, you know, I ask them some things. I say, well, let me ask you something. You saved? Oh, yeah. I'm saved. You read your Bible every day? I already know the answer. You praying every day? I already know the answer. Listen, there is nobody on God's green earth that's reading their Bible, that they're praying every day, they're filled with the Spirit of God, and God is leading them away from church.
Amen.
No, it don't happen.
Amen.
It's not happening. Brother Dwayne even talked about that when he said, man, God is leading us. You know, God convicts me and leads me a certain way, and it's not going to be different in certain areas. I mean, God may lead us in different directions, ministry-wise and all that, but man, for the things that God's got a word on, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. I'm telling you, this afternoon, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God led you to church. Huh? And if He don't, something's wrong. It's not going to happen. Nobody successfully lives for God out of church. Nobody. Mark it down. Nobody successfully lives for God out of church. Man, you're not a soul winner, you're not a prayer, you're not a Bible student, man, if you're out of church. It's just not going to happen. Oh, I know there's some extreme cases, man, people that might be paraplegics or something like, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about people in the normal average, the average Christian. They're not successfully living for God. That gradual fall, looking out, leaning out, and falling at it. Listen, man, if you get in that pattern, it's dangerous. You get in that layout and miss, every hit and miss, every time you turn around pattern, something wrong with your spiritual life. It is. Eutychus fell and died. He died physically. And the Apostle Paul ran down and raised him up. I bet he never fell asleep again. Huh? I got to thinking about that. I said, man, I'd like to have been in the next service when old Eutychus came into service that day. And I bet he was taken up to ushering. I bet he was singing in the choir. I bet he was sitting on a front row. I bet he got there early, and I bet he got and stayed late. And I bet he had a testimony, praise God, because Paul had raised him up from the dead. Man, he had something to say. Man, that was one excited church member right there. It might do some good for some of you. Just go ahead and fall out of the window right now. Huh? But the problem is, we don't have no apostle to raise you back up to life. Charles Spurgeon said that. Charles Spurgeon, he said, I think I wrote his quote down here. He said, beware. If you fall out and die, we have no apostle to raise you back up. I don't think you'd die falling out that window, though you could. You broke your neck. Huh? Yeah, sometimes that's what's got to happen. But I tell you what, he was excited about that, man. Verse 7 says this one thing. It said it was midnight. Midnight's a critical time. And I shared this with a couple people. This is what's going on right here. Right here at this church, man, exciting as it's been. I see three groups of people. And this has been going on for some time. We got a group of people that I know is excited about the things of God. I mean, man, they are really wanting to have more of a relationship than they have. They're doing the right things as best they can. I mean, they're going to these other meetings that we're having, and they're praying, and they go to the prayer events and things that they can do, and the ladies and the men, and man, we're getting together. We're encouraging one another. Man, we're trying to be faithful. We're trying to serve God. There's a group of people that's really wanting that, and not all churches have that. A lot of churches are pretty stagnant, really. I mean, everything's okay, but so we got a group of people in this church that are really seeking to draw close to God. There's a second group of people that are pretty faithful, but they're not on board with this yet. They're not really on board with saying, man, you know what? I need to get on this bandwagon here, man, that's just trying to draw closer to God. I really need to do that myself. Listen, I mean, how many of us can honestly say that, you know what? We're as close to God as we're ever going to get. How many of us can say that? Huh? But why do we settle and say, but, you know, I'm satisfied with the closeness to God that I got? Why would we say that when there's more? There's more. We got a group of people that are not quite on board with it, but they're still pretty faithful. And I've noticed this. Since this movement of drawing closer to God by a certain segment of the church has taken place, there's another segment that's almost pushing them away. They're almost saying, no. Disinterested, falling out. I can't do anything about it other than pray. I mean, I can pray. I can pray, but look here. In verse 7, it said it was midnight. Midnight's a critical time always in the Bible. It was midnight when Eutychus fell out of the window. It was midnight when the death angel passed through Egypt. And it was midnight when the 10 virgins were woken up. Midnight is like the halfway point between daylight, darkness, and daylight. It's halfway. And Eutychus was in the window seat, and he was half in and he was half out. But he fell out. You're not going to fall in. You have to make that effort to come back. You have to make that effort. You'll just fall out, but you just won't fall in. Let me ask you this. What time is it in your life spiritually? What time is it in your life spiritually? Midnight is the point that it can go either way. And there's a lot of people listening. I mean, if you fit in here, that disconnected, disinterested, up in the window seat, kind of not, you're at a place you can go either way. You can turn around, come in, get engaged, get involved, or you can just fall out. There's churches and all the group, all that group that's not engaged is in danger of going either way. It may take years. Sometimes it takes years. It may take a long time, but it might not take that long. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, there's people that come here, they're here every Sunday, but they are not engaged in the activities of the church. They're not engaged in it. It's a dangerous place to be. Midnight. Where are you at? Midnight is also a decision time in the Bible. It's a decision time. What are you going to make? What kind of decision are you going to make? You get in? You're just going to wait and see if you fall out. Let's all stand with the heads bowed, eyes closed.